ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian Behind the Glass, Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Lots to get to. Monday shows are the best. They are the bee's knees. Sorry, I had to. Had to do it. Lots to get to today, though. Lots to get to. Astros play baseball today. They're in Detroit. They made a roster move, by the way. The Beach Boys been DFA'd. Taylor Scott has rejoined the team in Detroit. So there's the roster move there. We'll talk plenty of Astros, good, bad, ugly, from what was a pretty ugly weekend series over at the Dyke. Even the win was a tough watch. Even that one had some... had some dilemma, had some negativity, but Astros still a game and a half up on Seattle, though, because Seattle helped you out. They were playing in Williamsport yesterday and lost a baseball game. We'll get to that a lot later. Plenty to get to. College football right around the corner. There's football this week. There's college football this week.
It's here.
It's here.
Well, it's in Ireland, but close
it's a Big 12 game, baby. Yeah. The second best conference in Power Four football. Second best. Don't at me.
Second best after the SEC and Big Ten.
No, Big Ten's overrated. We'll get into college football. I'm tongue-in-cheek there a little bit. I do think the Big Ten is overrated. I think they are the second-best conference in college football, but I do think the Big Ten's a little bit overrated. And they're also trying to ruin college football. I'm not sure who's trying to ruin their sport more, the Big Ten to college football or Robert Manfred to Major League Baseball. They're both trying to ruin their sport. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the Texans swarmed. Did you see those two series by the Houston Texans? I thought that they looked good. Hot take. They reaffirmed to me in those two series. I really do think that the Houston Texans are a dark horse Super Bowl contender, Blankers.
Wow.
I do. Okay. I've stood on that all offseason, though. That's not new. That's not a new take because of two series. I've felt that way since the offseason.
I didn't know that you had stayed with it because I was apprehensive about where this offensive line was, what their offensive line was going to look like this year, and the fact that being as important as it was in the offseason to kind of retool it, I just had to see it before I believed that it could be better than last year. And so far, the reports are good because it doesn't matter if we know all the names or not or where they are in their careers. So far, instead of just all this kind of minutia they feed the media, there seems to be a lot of truth to the fact that the continuity was an issue. It is there. This offensive line plays together, and they're getting results.
Yeah. What was your one main takeaway watching this game on Saturday? Texans, Panthers. Overall, very good for me. I thought it was a very positive night at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. They won the game, which screwed me over. Come on, underdogs on the money line all preseason long, baby. You weren't supposed to swarm Texans once you pulled the starters. So you gave Branham an L. I had to eat an L on Saturday because of the Texans' second and third strings. But that no one cares about that. What was your biggest takeaway, your biggest feel coming off of this game?
I mean, I think to me it's because I've been so bullish on Nick Chubb and that there's been a lot of reports coming out that Nick Chubb is washed, that he's not going to be good, that he doesn't have anything left in the tank. And then when you saw the way he was able to run and, you know, he still runs with the physicality, but he still seems to be able to hit the hole quite fast and seems to be able to get yards, that I was very impressed with the running game overall, but Nick Chubb in particular.
Yeah, I thought that the offensive line and Nick Chubb looked half decent. I was like, okay, there is a little bit there. I was pleased with the way Nick Chubb looked. I was pleased with the way that the offensive line was able to get to the, not really second level, but at least a little bit of a surge, a little bit of a push. I was pleased with that. I thought that Nick Chubb can carry you for four games while Joe Mixon's on the IR to start the year.
Yeah, I think that we started to see the identity of what a Nick Cayley offense looks like take shape. There was a lot of quick throws for C.J. Stroud. He hit Christian Kirk on a couple quick hitters. There was a little quick screen pass to Nico Collins. There wasn't a lot there. Even the touchdown obviously was a quick drop and then an out route to Nico Collins. There wasn't a lot of Stroud dropping back and having to buy time because routes had to get deep downfield. It was quick. And the offensive line, I thought, obviously stood out as actually – getting a push, like you said.
Yeah, I was pleased with that. I the other thing's the Nick Haley aspect of it, because I think that's even bigger than like Nick Chubb looking half decent, because I think the Texans have some backs that can do some damage. Mm-hmm. I think that Nick Chubb, look, it was two series, but it was I was more encouraged with those two series of Nick Chubb than I've been at any point since they've signed Nick Chubb. So that's encouraging. I think Woody Marks showed the ability that he can run the football a little bit. Obviously, Joe Mixon can run the football whenever Joe Mixon returns, which is very mysterious. I think that Dameon Pierce in this scheme, power, counter, gap scheme, is a lot better suited than whatever Bobby Slowick was trying to do. This goes back to some of the early days of Dameon Pierce. I think Pierce can have success with this offense. So I'm not worried about the pieces in the running back room. I would say I was probably more encouraged with Nick Haley. I like the short passing game. I like getting my receivers the ball in space and then letting them go create. I watched the two series today on the All 22. That little screen to Nico Collins at the top of your screen, that could have been a big play rather mm-hmm. easily. Nico Collins breaks a tackle there. He's going to the house. Like, there was a lot of bodies out in front of Nico Collins. It was a well-executed screen. I think Haley liked screens. Slowick liked screens. Slowick screens weren't well-executed. I thought that was really well-executed from Nick Haley. This offensive line is not more talented than it was last year. And again, it's only two series, so, like, let's not, hang the banner just yet, but a clean pocket for CJ Stroud. I thought that there was fantastic balance in the offense in those two series. I thought the execution was there. I was watching the game like with heart eye emojis. I really liked what I see from Nick Haley.
Well, and you look at it, there was even one play where CJ dropped back to pass and his internal clock basically told him he was about to get hit, and he wasn't. This year's different. He wasn't going to get hit. He had time. The entire every minute he was on the field, he seemed to have the time he needed to execute whatever plays. It was just on one, he had like PTSD, like, I'm supposed to be getting hit right now. And kind of, I want to
you talking about was it the second and goal play where he ended up sliding down at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it wasn't an incompletion because he only had two.
Right.
But I just thought that his internal clock went off because he was used to getting hit rather quickly. But when you look at it, I think on the first 25 plays, there were zero pressures. The O-line did their job. The fact that, if you're going to say that's their starting offensive line with Andrews at center and the way they spread them out. But essentially, I think in the first nine rushes, 52 yards, a 5.7 yard average. That's what Haley wants to do. Like you said, Jeremy, he wants the balance. They want to be a run-first offense. And if there's anything that CJ can do over and over again, we know that he has touch and he has accuracy, especially in the mid-range to short-range passing game, where they should be extremely effective doing that, and it takes pressure off your offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I noticed with Haley's scheme as it relates to how different it was than what Bobby Slowick did last year, Bobby Slowick in that zone scheme seemed to try to get to the edge a lot. Basically, I think nearly every single run we saw on Saturday was between the tackles, between the tackles, between the tackles, between the tackles, every single run. And not only was it between the tackles, but with Chubb, who can run people over, and when Mixon gets back, he can run people over. And surprisingly, because he was a receiving back in college, but Woody Marks was trucking people. Yeah. So, and then we know Dameon Pierce is a load when he gets going. So I think that's a marked difference between the two schemes, that they're running between the tackles, and they got guys that can run defenders over and pick up an extra couple.
That's why I'm not quitting on Dameon Pierce, because I think that Dameon Pierce in this scheme has a shot to help you. I'm not sure that Nick Chubb is better than Dameon Pierce today, right now, this second. I know back of baseball card, obviously it's Nick Chubb, but like whenever Pierce was out there practicing last week, they were sharing first team reps. I think they think that Dameon Pierce has a role on this team. I think they think that Dameon Pierce is going to excel in this scheme. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Because if Mixon is on the roster opening day, if he's on the initial 53, you're going to have a tough decision. Like, you're not keeping four prototypical running backs, and I think they're going to want to keep Jacob Johnson. Like, he was a focal point on mm-hmm. like with the ones. I was reading Benjamin Solak of ESPN. He was out at all the training camps. His take on the Texans was that their running scheme and their running operation is what Kaylee's taking away from New England, actually. They were a heavy fullback usage. He said he saw a lot of Jacob Johnson. Like, Jacob Johnson's making this team. So if you're keeping a fullback, you're keeping four traditional running backs. There are five running backs that should be on this team, assuming that Joe Mixon makes the initial 53. Because you're keeping Mixon, you're keeping Chubb, you're keeping Woody Marks, you're keeping Dare. So, did I mention Dameon Pierce?
No.
That's five.
Yeah.
So, like, one of those guys is either going to be cut or he's going to start the season on the IR. That's why I think Mixon's going to start the season on the IR. But that's it goes back to what we were talking about last week. I feel like the running back room is solid. I feel like it's fine. And it's mostly because of Kaylee's scheme, which is great.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's just going to be interesting. I would like to see Dameon Pierce healthy and full strength and just show us what you can do in this system. Because I think that the one thing that I was wondering coming out of this game was, with the way that Marks played, with the way that Chubb played, if it didn't light a fire under Pierce a little bit more to go, I probably should need to get out there and show out a little bit. Because right now, you know, you're wondering where the cuts are going to come from. And if Mixon's indeed going to be put on the IR, or if they're going to, you know, push him through and assume that he's going to play week one, which I don't expect him to play week one.
Yeah, it seems like a long shot for him to play week one. He hadn't been around the team at all, hadn't been on the practice field at all. He's on the non-football injury list, which, I mean, he could come off of that tomorrow and like, okay, let's ramp him up. He's ready by early September. It just doesn't feel like that's imminent. And maybe it is. Maybe I'm just reading the situation wrong and he's going to be there week one. I hope that's the case. I very much hope it's the case. Lots to get to from this Texans-Panthers game. That we've read one bullet point on the many bullet points that we have. 713-780-ESPN. It's a busy show. Good, bad, ugly as well from the Astros. Texans made a trade. Mechie's gone. Lost in all of that. Mechie's gone. We'll discuss that a little bit later, and Israel's not going to be very happy with the news of the NFL today. Not going to be too happy. Joe Flacco was named QB1 in Cleveland. We'll discuss that a little bit later. Also, we'll discuss C.J. Stroud wearing the hat of a rival, wearing the Seattle Mariners hat. Is that okay? We'll discuss all of this much, much in greater detail. 713. I'm so excited. I'm tripping over my words. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. You can find me there at Jeremy J. Branham. On Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the B's, ESPN 975, ESPN 925.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Listener party's back, by the way. We'll be giving away tickets all month. The only way to get in is by winning. Party September 5th, 6:30, 9:30 at St. Arnold. Be sure to be listening to John and Lance, the Del Olalea Show, the Paul Gallant Show, and the Killer Bees and Soccer Matters to get your chance to win. We're giving away tickets Thursday, Brian? Brian?
Correct, Thursday.
Thursday, Brian.
Thursday.
Awesome. Thursday, you said. So be make sure you're listening. Don't just listen on Thursday. Listen every day. But Thursday also, listen that day. You can actually get something out of it listening Thursday. Texter says, you guys going to hurt Joe's feelings again today? Please do. We hurt his feelings? I'm not aware of this. This is the first I've heard of this.
Joe George?
That's what the text says. Oh, I did say Joe George. You said Joe. But I'm assuming it's Joe George. So I don't know.
You, Joe.
It's either George or a spotter. Right?
Do you have any intel here?
I don't have any idea.
I don't think we've ever hurt a spotter's feelings.
No.
You have any intel, Brian?
No.
Give us some context, 1143. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did we pick on him Friday?
I got onto his read a little bit.
Oh, maybe that.
Well, I was actually wrong about one of them. I was right about the other one. But I don't know. Give us some context. I don't know why we made Joe mad. Israel says, Chubbs, flex emoji, flex emoji, flex emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji. Another texture. Wasn't Stoots one of the naysayers of Chubb? Look, let's not scoreboard Nick Chubb. We have no idea what the season's going to look like. He might be running back 3 if Joe Mixon's healthy and Dameon Pierce looks better. But yes, the answer to that question
and
is
he was eating some crow. I mean, he came back at it and said, obviously, Joe Mixon is a better in-game runner than practice.
I think Will Kunkel had a great take about this. He said that Nick Chubb isn't the type of player that you can really get a good grasp if he's performing well based on, like, don't bring him to the ground, shell practices. He's the type of guy that really shows out because he's a power back in games, whenever it's violent, whenever it's tackle football for real. And I think that's a good take. At the same time, because he had a promising 2 series, I'm not ready to proclaim Nick Chubb back or he's going to have a 1,000-yard season. I am ready to proclaim that I think higher of Nick Chubb as a Houston Texan than any other point that I've felt about Nick Chubb as a Houston Texan.
I think more so than anything else for me, it was that there's actually depth in this room, that there's talent enough in this room that when I was saying a week or so ago that they might be looking for running back two and he might not even be on their roster yet. Now you look at the two guys that got run literally on Saturday and looked pretty good, and then you haven't seen Pierce yet and you expect you will see Mixon at some point, and you're like, okay, maybe there's a lot more depth, you know, in that running back room than I thought.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Texter, yeah, you heard Joe's feelings because y'all read a mean text about him. I don't remember that. I really don't. And if Joe got his feelings hurt by a mean text, then Joe needs some thicker skin. No sensitive boys around here. Come on now. We don't get sour about sensitive text. AR Platinum, who was out at Brick House on Friday, because he's from Atascocita, he said, thanks for the bathroom combos Friday. Yeah, AR Platinum, whenever I saw him for the first time Friday, was in the men's room.
Me too.
Oh, it was the same time for you as well? That's a different time. How many times did he use the bathroom?
And his kid was in the stall, and he was like talking. I was like, wait a minute, who are you talking to? And he's like, oh, my kid's in the stall. I was like, okay, I didn't know what you were doing there.
How many times did AR Platinum go to the bathroom from 3 to 6 at Brick House Tavern and Tap and Humble?
He's got a small bladder, Jeremy.
Positive yardage plays on first down is the biggest factor this year. I mean, two series, but Nick Caley, that's something that I will give him credit for and that I was pleased with the first team on Saturday, was that it seems like down and distance is something that's very important to him. He wants to be in second and decent. He wants to be in third and manageable. And I think that that's something that every offensive coordinator should have in mind.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm curious now on the next level front when they figure out the tight end situation behind Schultz. I just feel like he's going to utilize the tight end more so than what we saw in the last 2 years as well. So if it's anything like the McVay offense and anything like what the Rams run, you would think that there's another layer or two that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, so there is that. What else stood out to you?
I mean, there was quite a bit. Calling out linemen by name, but even Scruggs looked good when he was on the field. But, you know, the Andrews at center, Tomlinson looked good. I thought, you know, in mentioning what I just mentioned about with the tight ends, I mean, Irv Smith had a good game. Irv Smith, who I was wondering was even on the roster, but I thought Irv Smith played decent, good football.
Yeah, he was he's solid. I think he's going to be in a camp battle now with this guy that the Texans traded for. We'll get to that in a minute. I have a couple of nitpicks because that's what I do. I nitpick things. People are mad at me on the internet currently. The first series, C.J. Stroud, if he hits Nico there, that's six. Yeah. Like, but I took that as an encouraging thing. Like, okay, Nico Collins put his guy in a blender, and Nick Caley drew up a play that could have been six if C.J. Stroud makes – what is, I think, an average NFL throw? Maybe an above-average NFL throw. And Stroud mentioned it after the game. He's like, I missed one there. Still trying to get the feel. It's preseason. I was encouraged by it, but C.J. Stroud made a bad throw there. He was the first one that mentioned it. And then the second series did take you four downs inside the 10 to score. And last year, one of the bugaboos of this team was red zone offense. I'm not saying one series is going to define the Texans' red zone offense. I'd sure like to see them score in three downs as opposed to four, because I'm not sure D'Amico Ryans, who can be a bit conservative on field goal go-forward decisions, I'm not sure that he would have went for it in that spot if it was regular season.
I mean, that's a good call, because we know that he's been very hard to read and predict when he does and doesn't go for it on fourth down. So I think it's a good observation. I mean, I think that we all have concerns about short yardage because of a year ago, but with a new OC, you hope that it's a different philosophy and they have different ability with this new scheme.
Yeah. What did you have, Brian?
So, I mean, I think one of the things that was, I think we all expected going in that I noticed was just how much Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. dominated for the three series they are in. There was so many times, and one of them tied into one of my negatives, kind of a don't forget in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. And that was, and it's really, this is more of a credit to Tet McMillan than it is a discredit to Stingley. But Stingley got absolutely beat by a double move by Tet, but it didn't matter because Danielle Hunter got his hand on the football as Andy Dalton was trying to release it, so it didn't end up mattering. And the other thing I noticed on the touchdown pass to Nico Collins, because one of the things we're constantly going to be looking for when this with this offensive line, the protection scheme, is, you know, can they handle stunts? Can they handle stunts? And obviously you don't see a lot of that in preseason, but on that play, the defensive line on the left side of the offense crashed down, and one of their inside linebackers looped around and had an absolutely free shot on Stroud, but it was a quick pass, and Stroud had already gotten rid of the ball. Like, the offensive line did not pick up like one of the only stunts the Panthers ran. It didn't matter because the pass was quick, but it's going to be something we, you know, keep watching for throughout the season.
That's one way to scheme out of the stunts, though.
Yeah, if you get the ball out quick.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that is going to be one of their plans. Good call on that. Now, one of the areas where I was like really encouraged with the offensive line, other than running the ball, because running the ball was good, the touchdown pass that CJ had to Nico Collins, rock and roll. Did you see how many guys the Panthers rushed? They rushed seven guys on that play. Seven guys. Stroud was not pressured, had a decent amount of time to throw for a quick out pattern, and was right on the money for the touchdown. So, like, how many times did we see last year where the opposing defense was sending seven where Stroud delivered a good ball? Very, very rarely.
No, you're right. And I think that, like I said, I thought there was a lot of encouragement about how the communication was obviously there to pick up multiple rushers, and the fact that they were sliding from their initial block set to either move out or move in as more pressure came. And I thought that, you know, I wrote down Scruggs, Andrews, and Tomlinson really stood out to me in terms of guys that were like constantly moving, picking up their blocks and holding so that CJ, you know, holding their blocks so that CJ had enough time to pass the ball.
Yeah, courage there. A couple of other things I had. One other nitpick. You mentioned Anderson dominated and Danielle Hunter, which they did. Danielle Hunter's spin move, midseason form, led to that really kind of Bryce Young rolled out of the pocket. Now, he got by Will Anderson. Like, if Will Anderson's going to be a season leader in sacks in the NFL, if he's going to get to 12, 14 sacks and be top three in the league, those are ones you got to pick up. Those are ones where you got to swallow Bryce Young and bring him to the ground. You can't let him sneak away from you. I know Bryce Young's mobile. I know he's a tiny man. I know he's athletic. If you're going to be the sack leader in the NFL, those are the easy ones that you got to pick up. You can't allow him to get by you, and then your defensive tackle is able to pick up that sack. Nitpicky, the team still got the sack, but that's always been one of the, I wouldn't even call it weaknesses of Anderson. It's like the one area where he could improve slightly, and he would be maybe one of the best defensive ends in the entire NFL. So just a small criticism there. Zizou Shire, you can't teach an old dog, new tricks.
He was trying to kill Bryce Young,
and I love it. I love it. I want quarterbacks shaking in their boots whenever they see Zizou Shire. I want them shaking in their boots when they're thinking about running against this Houston Texans defense. So don't change your colors, Zizou Shire. I love it. I love it. If he gets a four-game suspension again because he takes out a quarterback because he's a violent player, I'll live with it. I'll live with those. Any rebuttal there?
No, I don't love that. I don't love the four-game suspension part. I love the intimidation factor. I love how physical he is within the rules. They're in a different space when he's not on the field. I don't need him suspended.
It was funny. The quarterbacks shaking their boots.
The broadcast booth kind of soft pedals, like, oh, that's Aziz being Aziz. I can't remember if it was John Harris or if it was why am I spacing on the other guy?
Andy Clue.
Yeah, Andy Clue. I can't remember which one of. I think it was Andy Clue, but he mentions like, maybe you might want to pull up a little bit more there, Aziz. And he is who he is, and I'd rather him try to walk that line than try to take that away from him, because then I don't think he'd be as effective. But it's something we're gonna have to watch out for.
Harris talked about. Was it Woody Marks where he was talking about his derriere, the size of his butt?
I must have missed
that.
Yeah,
Harris was going all in on Woody Marks'.
Did he call himself a brown guy again this week?
No, he didn't do that this week.
That's good.
But he called Woody. He said he was thick, said he had a big butt. I was like, come on, Judge. You're a married man.
He's been a very big man.
Woody's got a girlfriend, Harris. Take it easy.
Johnny's thirsty.
I don't know. I want to say that when they drafted him, when they moved up and drafted him, because he was like high on him the entire draft process, that he like celebrated on the air and like screamed on the air.
John said he pounded the table when they drafted him. Yeah, he said that on air.
I remember the video of that.
Yeah.
They showed a video of that.
Texans, I must have missed it.
On draft day, they released like their, because I mean, they do Texans radio during the draft. And they released whenever he was informed of the pick. When he was informed of the pick, Harris like pounded the table, stood up, and was like celebrating like he won, you know, the Super Bowl. Which, I mean, I love Harris's enthusiasm.
Hey, give everyone a hug over there.
I got some good and bad news on Woody Marks. What do y'all want first, the good or the bad?
The bad.
I was going to say good, but go ahead and do bad.
Well, we defer to the talent here.
Fair.
The bad was that he was nowhere near the first team offense. Nowhere near it. Nowhere near the first team offense. You see, the third down back was with the first team.
Dari.
With the one. Dari. Yeah. So he was nowhere near the ones, which is like, okay, if you wanted him to upend Dari as the third down running back from the moment the season begins, it does not look like that's the case. Now, the good news is obviously he played really well with the twos. It was fantastic. Showed power that we saw in like the rookie highlights whenever he was drafted. 40 yards, 7 carries. Don't get enamored with preseason stats. But the way that he run looked violent. He was quick. He was fast. I liked what I saw when he played. But in terms of the depth chart, nowhere near the ones for
what. Yeah, not yet. Like that's what I was thinking too. Like at a certain point, this is what they want to see is progression to where there's a certain point where he'll be in there more often and maybe be the sooner rather than later be the heir apparent to Dari, but he definitely isn't there yet. I was just watching his pass pro too. Pass pro is going to be big for any running back coming into the league about how important, no matter what else you do, carrying the football or catching it, you got to be able to protect your quarterback. So he's got to make sure he knows where he's got to be on all pass protection.
Anything we missed, boys?
I thought the Jaden Higgins catch was really nice. Great obviously, catch. Stroud could have maybe put that in a better spot to where he didn't have to dive for it, but it was a really great catch and a really good route. And also thought Jalen Noel and Braxton Berrios both looked pretty spry in punt return. They both had a nice punt return each where they basically took nothing and turned it into like 9-10 yards. So that's going to be an interesting competition and split to see how that shakes out.
The only other thing I had was Jalen Smith.
Spry. I like that word.
Yeah, I had Jalen Smith just because of the fact, aside from like the touchdown, Jalen Smith, the one play on Tet on the in wide open space on the left side where he came up and made a big hit. But there's been a lot of people just raving about him and the progressions he's already made at camp. But there's another secondary guy that somewhere down the line, I think that they got a guy that they can plug and play that's going to only get better.
Yeah, I thought he saw. I think Tet's going to be really good, too. I kind of like what I see from Tet.
He shook Stingley on that double move.
Solid. Keith from L.A. Looked a lot like the Rams offense. Come on, Keith from L.A. Let's not make everything about you. We're talking about the Texans offense here. Why are you going to make it about the L.A. Rams, who the Texans are going to roll into to the West Coast and pound those Rams in week one as Stetson Bennett, Jimmy Garoppolo. I know Stafford was back, but I'm talking a little mess. Texture, that was a bad team. I wouldn't take anything from it. You got to take a little at least. How about just a little bit? Like, you have to temper your expectations off preseason football. You're 100% right. I think Carolina's is going to be improved from where they were a year ago, but they weren't a good team last year. You're right. But it could have looked worse. Like, things could have looked bad. The offense looked good. The defense looked good. How could you not be pleased with that performance?
I mean, I think that's the thing. Like you said, not just with Nick Chubb, with everybody. The fact that now you're playing against someone in a different uniform, and it's taking them to the ground. It's doing all the things. It's one thing to hear what your defense can do against your own offense when they're probably easing up a little bit, but it's not the physicality of a true game. And when you see them live doing the things that you do, doesn't matter who you're going against, you know that defense is loaded. And from an offensive perspective, the continuity is there. And the fact that CJ was really efficient, the offense moved down the field. I mean, I think that regardless of how good the other team is, those are the things you take away.
All right, what do we think of this trade? Texans made a trade with Philadelphia. They got their own draft pick back. Philadelphia got their own draft pick back. But the Texans trading John Mechie in a 6th rounder for Harrison Bryant and a 5th rounder. You like it? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the new Walmart.com. We all know what Walmart brings to the table and why you go to Walmart. You get great, great prices, unbelievable selection, and you can get in and out pretty quickly. But the fact is, you got to drive to the store. You got to find parking. You're in there for a while. Well, now because of the new Walmart.com, it's everything that you love about the prices and the selection without actually having to go into the store, because they'll deliver it right to your door. And they'll do it for the same price as what your groceries would cost in store. And it's all because of the new Walmart.com. They're absolutely fantastic. My wife and I were talking about it because we used it the other day where we needed some things for the kids, and we had softball practice starting, and Taylor needed a couple of shirts. And we also needed some of the groceries that we forgot to get when we were at the store earlier in the week. And I said, well, why don't we use Walmart.com? She said, great idea. Next thing you know, that we ordered everything we needed. We kept going on with everything we had to do throughout the day. And the groceries were delivered right to the door at the exact same price as you would find in the store. It's fantastic. Whether you're hosting a tailgate party, you need something for the kids, maybe on a quick notice because you got a birthday party you forgot about, or you just need your groceries and you don't want to go to the store, Walmart.com has everything for you. And the one thing that you might not know about everything as well as the low prices is there's a better selection online than even what you find in the store. There's more than a half a billion items available online, and there's a huge selection of items that you can't find in stores. Unlike grocery stores, Walmart's grocery prices are the same as in-store as they would be for delivery. And if you want it in as fast as an hour, well, there you got to pay a little extra with fees and terms that apply, but they can get it to you fast, too. Use Express Delivery to get the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods, prescriptions, and so much more. It's all subject to availability, but the one thing you do know is if you hear Walmart, you know low prices, lots of selection, top quality. Now you can get it delivered to your door without even going to the store. Check them out today at Walmart.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. So the Texans traded John Mechie in a sixth-round pick yesterday for Harrison Bryant in a fifth-round pick. What's funny is that the sixth-round pick that the Eagles are receiving is the sixth-round pick they gave up in the Kenyon Green, C.J. Gardner-Johnson trade. And the fifth-round pick that the Texans receive is the pick they gave up in the C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Kenyon Green trade. So in essence, the Texans have received Harrison Bryant, C.J. Gardner-Johnson for Kenyon Green and John Mechie. But looking at this one in a vacuum, Bryant in a fifth for John Mechie in a sixth, what do you make of this trade for Nick Caserio and the Houston Texans?
Well, there's a couple things. I think first and foremost, and I had talked about it last week, the fact that they, because of the surplus at wide receiver and everything else, might be looking to try and use that as collateral to get another tight end. We knew that they needed a tight end. They got what they needed. And from a Nick Caserio perspective, the one thing that I'll tip my cap on him to both is, even if he swung and missed on Kenyon Green and maybe the Mechie thing, whether you call it a swing and miss completely or because of his medical and everything that he went through health-wise, that he never was the player that he thought he was drafting, he's able to move on from those two guys, whether you want to say he admitted a mistake or not, but he moved on from them and he got players that can actually have a chance to help you. Obviously that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a guy that can help you and you hope to get him back sooner rather than later, but he should be a guy that helps your secondary. And Kenyon Green wasn't going to play. And then from the standpoint of a tight end, at least you got a guy that's got good hands, that's athletic, that might be a good second, third tight end for this team when they were lacking a tight end.
Yeah, I have a hard time calling Mechie a, what'd you say, what was the word that you used? I didn't want to quote you.
I didn't say
a miss.
Whether you classify him a swing or a miss swing, or not,
yeah.
Because of the fact that he went through his health.
Yeah, I wouldn't qualify him as that. He was drafted coming off a torn ACL, had the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma before his NFL career ever began, and then all of a sudden, whenever he got right, he had a very crowded room in front of him, whenever year it was. So I wouldn't call it a miss. Like, I think it's a fair point, I guess. But I personally would not. Like, I think he could be a factor on this year's team if you didn't draft Higgins, if you didn't draft Knoll. I think he's going to be a factor in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, their third receiver spot is up for grabs. He could win that third receiver spot behind Brown and Smith. So I think it's good for the Texans. I think it's really good for John Mechie, a spot where he can actually go and get some value. Valuable reps on a good team. But I like this trade specifically. There was a 50-50 chance, we think, that Mechie wouldn't have been on this team. Trading Mechie away really doesn't do anything to your wide receiver room. You still have, potentially, if you want to keep seven receivers, seven rosterable guys with Nico, Kirk, Higgins, Knoll, Xavier Hutchinson, Braxton Berrios, and if you want to keep a seventh, it's Justin Watson. I did notice that Justin Watson was on the first kickoff team. So it's like, okay, that might be a clue. Jalen Petrie was on the first kickoff team, so maybe they were using their first kickoff coverage team on that opening kick. And then you get a guy. I don't know if Harrison Bryant's going to make the team or not. Like, if they keep three tight ends, are you keeping Bryant or Irv Smith? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe they keep four and they keep both of those guys. They also drafted Nick Lachey's brother. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's in the mix there a little bit too. So I don't know that it's a lock that Harrison Bryant makes the team, but you add some draft capital for a guy that you might not have kept. He was in the final year of his contract. I think it was a no-brainer for Nick Caserio. Not like a huge sizzle. It's not a 10 out of 10, but I think it's a thumbs up on this trade for Nick.
Yeah, we had been talking about the fact that Mechie, over the last couple of practices, over the last week or so, and then what he was doing in games, had maybe given himself enough value to where he could be a tradable asset. Because there were questions about who was going to make this team. I think right now all it says, too, is that Watson's a guy that went from just going to be cut to probably a guy that's on the bubble and can make the roster now with Mechie going. And I think it really is going to be dependent a lot upon special teams. And if they see that he's, you know, Berrios, too. I mean, Berrios is a guy. I don't really want to see Noel running back punts and kicks. But
why not?
Because of the fact that I'm always leery of injury, and I think that I'd rather have Noel in the passing game, developing more of that kind of that weapon that you can use in the passing game, and let Braxton Berrios be a guy that, hey, he's versatile, he's athletic, he's quick, and let him do that. And if he gets hurt, we can still be okay.
If Noel's better than Berrios, I want Noel returning punts. Because he's wide receiver four. I'm not scared of the injury concern with wide receiver four. Like, it's a way to get him touches. Now, if he's one of my top three receivers, different conversation. It's the Tank Dell conversation. If he's better than Berrios, I want him back there. I don't know if he's better than Berrios, though. I think Berrios might be better in that role than Noel at this stage of their career.
This is quick, man.
He's very quick.
Yeah. I think he brings a lot to the table. I think they love his attitude. And I think he's willing to do whatever they need him to do.
He's got game on and off the field, Braxton Berrios.
She was there.
Was she really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because Coco, what's her name from Fox 26?
Dominguez?
Coco Dominguez. Coco Dominguez found her in the parking lot and interviewed her.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You know, now that you mentioned it,
if a male reporter had done that, that would have been really creepy.
It would have been, for sure.
Yeah, you have to have a female reporter do that.
That would have been, who was the dude who showed up at Arian Foster's house?
Isaiah
Carey.
Yeah, that's right. He was the one that showed up at
Arian's
house.
Like, if Isaiah Carey does that.
Yeah,
completely different conversation.
Also had a wayward bug end up in his mouth for some very entertaining video.
Isaiah did?
Oh, my God, if you haven't seen it.
Really? I think my Uncle Barney goes on Isaiah's
show. He was doing a live.
He goes on there pretty often.
Huh.
I don't know if it was live or taped, but he was shooting a stand-up, like, on a feeder road. And right in the middle of talking, a bug flew in his mouth, and he just cussed tirated. It is hilarious.
My baseball coach, David Sidden, who you met the other day.
The one that didn't
I didn't meet him, I saw him.
One day at practice, he got a bug in his eye, and he went on and on about a bug being in his eye and, like, couldn't recover for the rest of practice. And that, I got a bug in my eye. We'll never forget that. That was hilarious. What were you going to say, Brian?
On the tray, like, I think ultimately this is most likely guy who was going to get cut for guy who's going to get cut. So you take the draft capital and move on. That's really the only thing of consequence. But I think I'd rather have, going back to the earlier question, I think I'd rather have, or like, if you're just looking at the players, I'd rather have Irv Smith than Harrison Bryant. Like, Harrison Bryant, unless you're telling me he's an all-pro level blocker as a tight end, which you're already kind of hoping Kate Stover can be. Like, he, over his career, he's provided nothing as a receiver, so I'd rather have Irv Smith. So if you're taking the draft capital out of this, not that you should, but I think it's kind of I slightly don't like it, just because I think there's a better chance that John Mechie could help you than Harrison Bryant.
I think John Mechie will help the Eagles more than Harrison Bryan helps the Texans.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Mechie was helping the Texans this year.
We're talking about 2% odds versus 1% odds. Because ultimately, I don't think this move matters, because both guys were getting cut.
I would
just rather have Irv Smith than Harrison Bryant, so it kind of feels like, well, why make
I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I think they keep Bryan over Irv Smith.
You think so?
Yeah, because Irv Smith was a guy that they got, like, in season last year. I don't think that he's a guy that was going to be, like, picked up by other NFL teams. I think they view Irv Smith as a guy that maybe they can storm on the practice squad / sign him in the season, because he's not going to be someone who is picked up by another NFL team. Whereas Harrison Bryant, like, yes, he doesn't have great receiving numbers. He's always been in the league, and he's still relatively young, 27 years old. I watched some highlights on him.
How old is Irv?
He's probably in his 30s. Irv Smith's been around a bit.
Yeah.
Probably in his
30s. He was a first-round pick.
I would guess at
coming
least,
out.
I would guess 32, 33 maybe, at least, Irv Smith. But I watched some videos of Harrison Bryant. He is a big guy who runs and chews bubblegum at the same time. Like, he's a big guy that runs a little bit.
I was going to say,
move a bit.
The thing to me is that you look at you've got guys like you've got Schultz. Schultz is a pass catcher. He's not really a physical blocking tight end. And then you got Stover, who's a physical blocking tight end that really isn't known for his hands and his ability to run routes. And then in between, you had Jordan, who had speed, who had the ability to do some things athletically, who could still block a little bit. Uh-huh. So now you're trying to figure out, is it Irv Smith, who knows the system, who can be physical but is a little older, still has he has a chance to be decent and catch the ball. But I think that now you're looking at the fact that they added someone that's more versatile that could do everything. He can block, he's big, but he's got good hands. You know, he played at FAU in college for Kiffin, and you know, that's a passing offense where he's had success. And like you said, he's been in the league, I think his – tops for catching in a season is like 39, 40 catches. But if you can get a guy to catch the football.
Who's that?
The guy they just traded for.
Oh, Bryant?
Yeah. I think that there's a chance that
same
he brings.
Same age, by the way.
What?
Irv Smith's 27?
They're both 27.
Oh, my goodness.
Second round pick.
I thought he was almost 40. No, I didn't think he was almost 40. I thought he was in his early 30s.
First. Okay.
Wow, that's surprising to me.
Yeah, just like they both don't have a great receiving profile, though Irv Smith has been slightly better. And his couple of stops on Cincinnati and in Minnesota, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel like, unless you're seeking out a very specific role for this third string tight end, then it doesn't seem like you're really changing much with the room. So it feels like, why are you giving up a wide receiver for kind of the same guy?
Yeah. I think that they were going to keep Brian over Irv Smith, would be my guess. I also think it's in play that they keep four.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very possible they keep four tight ends.
But if you already have a fullback, I don't know if you really need a fullback.
Makes it more difficult.
Yeah, like I wouldn't keep a fourth tight end if he's also not going to play fullback.
Yeah, it's in play. And look, I ran him 53-man roster projection today. I only kept three. But just saying, that was one of the ones that was kind of on the fence there. And I did keep a fullback. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Today, and there's also more bad and ugly. A little injury update on Brandon Walter. Setback there. Uh-oh. It's Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, a moment on HRP, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by my colleague. Go Cougs. Chris Fisher was up here last week. He brought Granado, son JT, up here. But great people over at HRP. They hire the very best people, and that's why they have a great culture. It's why that you, as a business owner, can trust the people at HRP. They're telling me about their new benefits that they handle for all of these companies that are out there. A lot of these HR companies, they go to these businesses and they force them to choose their retirement, to choose their 401. That's not the case with HRP. You can keep your own benefits plan when you join HRP, which is the way it should be. HR company shouldn't be making that decision. You should, and you can carry that over to HRP. It's one of the many things that makes them great. Let HRP help you if you're a business owner. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. They stay on top of what's trending in that industry. They're a great teammate to have on your side. And there's no boxes with HRP. You have a small job, a big job. HRP completely customizes a plan for what you need. They can take a little bit off your plate. They can take a lot off your plate. HRP is going to find a way to help you. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology in the game, but you're going to love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. So give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. Let them help your business. That way you can spend time in the areas you'd rather be spending your time. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Real quick on Joe Mixon. Aaron Wilson had a slight injury update. Aaron on Mixon's health. I believe he starts the season on the non-football injury list, which would sideline him for week 1 in L.A. He also states that it's been a tough and complicated rehab.
Mm. Mm. Especially since we didn't know there was going to be any rehab necessary.
Because
we don't know exactly what he's rehabbing.
And that makes the starting off on the non-injury football list that much more weird.
I think that's kind of like transactional. I don't think there's a whole lot there.
There's nothing to read from it?
I don't think so. To me, the way that I've read that in the past, and I'm only like 90% confident here, so if you want to check me on it, you can, 713-780-3776. The way that I've always read that is that it's an injury that happens away from the team as opposed to with the team.
It's almost like a CYA insurance policy thing. Yeah. Like, the team is never going to say, we're not going to give you medical treatment and help you through this process, but it needs to be clear that you did not do this while doing football activities for this team.
Yeah, that's the way I've always read
it. Even though you eventually put him on the regular IL?
Well, because you're still paying him and everything like that, but if it came down to like a legal issue or something like that, you didn't get hurt playing, representing the team, or working out in the team facility. It was doing something on your own.
Now, I think that there might be something with the roster rules with what you're saying. Like, the NFI might be a little bit different than the IR and PUP in terms of, like, which players you can bring back, what they can do with the team while they're on that list. I think there are some slight differences there. But to be on the NFI versus IR and PUP, it's usually something that you've done away from the team. But you might be onto something with the roster rules of each designation. There's a lot. It's hard to keep up. But that's a big difference than what Aaron Wilson was reporting 3 weeks ago, that they expect him to be ready for week one, which I think is what made D'Amico Ryans mad. I think D'Amico Ryans was mad that Aaron Wilson was saying that Mixon should be back for week one, because it looks bad on Mixon if he's not back for week one. And I think that was D'Amico Ryans going to battle for his running back.
It's quite possible. It's looking more like that every day, with the fact that I thought we'd see him by now. I thought that he was doing whatever he was doing. And I mean, I fully believe that he did something on his own after the season, but I still thought he would come back like right before the third week of preseason and then be ready for the opener.
Yeah, looks like, I think week five is what we're looking at now for Joe Mixon. That's totally guessing. That's not a report. Don't get mad at me, D'Amico. Don't get mad at me. I'm just putting two and two together. I'm just putting the tea leaves together. Now, good, bad, ugly from the Astros weekend. We'll hit the bad and the ugly coming up next. But real quick about this injury. The Astros have been doing those injury reports ever since the Yordan fiasco earlier this year. Brandon Walters had a setback. Redheaded Tom Glavine has a reoccurrence of inflammation in his elbow. He's the savior of this rotation, Brian. He is the number three starter for the Houston Astros when well. That's who he is.
He can't make the club from the tub, man. He's not healthy.
He was the best, like, turn over every stone until you find something, diamond in the rough, this year in the pitching staff.
So they're shutting him down. He's not going to throw. In my opinion, again, not a report, just putting two and two together, reading the tea leaves, I think Brandon Walters' 2025 season is over.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that we were talking about it before the show started. I mean, with a guy that missed the entire season last year coming off Tommy John surgery and then getting this news, it seemed too encouraging about the fact that he might not have to have another procedure in the offseason if this is where we're at after you've already IL'd him, hoping that you could find some way to get him back this year.
He had Tommy John last year?
He was recovering all of last year.
It wasn't a shoulder?
I thought it was one or the other. I thought it was Tommy John.
I don't trust Google AI, so I don't know.
Does the AI say Tommy John?
Google AI says left shoulder rotator cuff, okay. But I don't trust Google AI. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what's worse. If he had elbow issues last year, Tommy John, and is having elbow issues now, or if he had shoulder injuries last year and then now is having an elbow. I think they're both equally bad. So I don't know if there's any, like, if one's better than the other. But this is bad news. I mean, this is bad news because Brandon Walter, you figured if he could get back and pitch to what he was doing, would be a factor on this pitching staff. Because right now you're throwing out some guys that you don't really love throwing out there, you know. Dubin looks like he belongs on the injured list. They Beach Boyed. They DFA'd the Beach Boy, Brandon Weems. They brought back Taylor Scott, who they DFA'd earlier this year. It's a bit dire right now for this Astros pitching staff while reinforcements are on the way.
Yeah, I mean, you just wondered which was going to be the injury that might have really kind of pushed them over the edge. And now, because you've had to reshuffle everything with your bullpen, all the guys that you've been relying on, it's like all of a sudden it looks like the clock's starting to strike midnight on some of them. And they're just kind of – they've given you everything they've got all season long, and now they're not quite what they were for you. And now you're scrambling at the back of that bullpen. You're actually scrambling for arms all over that bullpen, hoping your starters give you at least five or six.
Mm-hmm. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get back between the lines What was the bad and the ugly from this Astros weekend series? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.